Atomga coming up on today's Express Yourself. That was Atomga from their newest EP, Aga, with a tune called Opia. Big band Afrobeat doesn't come to the Roaring Fork Valley very often, so when it does, hey, it's time for you to get off your butt and shake your booty. And tonight is the night to do that with Denver band Atomga at Katie and Kay's Hoot. Atomga takes the stage at 8 o'clock over at the 4th Street Plaza. And with me now in the studio are Leah Conchaldi. Did I say that right?
Close. Conchaldi.
Pretty nice. You're the baritone sax player, aren't you?
Correct.
And Frank Roddy is here, too, and you're on the tenor sax.
Yes.
And we have the guitarist with us, too, Casey Herdlicky. Hi.
How's it going?
Did I say that right?
You did.
Almost, huh?
Perfect.
Welcome to Katie and Kay in Carbondale.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, you're not strangers to Carbondale. You've played Mountain Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how was that gig for you?
That was honestly one of the biggest gigs we've ever played.
Nice.
And everyone was super receptive. Like, you know, sometimes you play to big crowds and the front's dancing, but the back's not. But it was really cool to feed off that whole crowd's energy, just dancing and raging. So we're really
Isn't that where we had the live painter on stage? It was like awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Did you ever play a gig where nobody danced?
Yes.
We start gigs where nobody dances, but typically people are at least tapping their foot by the end.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the goal. Like, if you're just like, what is this weird music? I've never heard it before. Like, you know,
there's a few gigs. There's a few gigs we played that were kind of sit down audiences, and it's always a different energy. They're enjoying it, but they're in their lawn chairs, or maybe it's indoors where everybody's sitting down. Uh-huh. So it's always a different dynamic for us because we're used to having everybody dance and shaking their booties.
I don't see how people can't move with all those polyrhythms. You know, that's one of the cool things about Afrobeat. My first experience with Afrobeat was probably King Sunny Ade. And it was like, it was a shock to realize for me that all of those polyrhythms weren't necessarily coming from the rhythm section.
Oh yeah,
it was everybody.
Mm-hmm. Every instrument's a drum.
Yeah.
And you guys are really tight in that way. Does that come from a lot of rehearsal, or where does that come from?
Yeah, basically. Yep.
Yeah, we rehearse every week. Like, you know, lots of bands for whatever reasons will be like, oh, we have a gig coming up, I guess we should rehearse. But you know, since we started stringent Wednesday rehearsals, and I think that, you know, not only keeps us tight as a band, but keeps us tight as a dorky little musical family, and we all know our quirks inside and out. So
I think also when we're developing songs, we kind of really pay attention that we're not overdoing it on a certain section or everything stacked on top of each other where we all have our space, and we really pay attention to that, so it all clicks together and it's not just a bunch of stuff happening at one time. You know what I mean?
Oh, so that ethic comes from the very beginning of a song, not necessarily when it's just performed on stage.
Yeah.
Is what I hear you saying.
I think you have to, you have to pay attention as you're developing those songs, I think, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There was a really good article in Westward Magazine when you guys released this new EP. And in that, I think it was you, Leah, that talked a little bit about how it is, how you listen to the rest of your band playing while you're playing. Maybe you could talk about that, because that, I think that's an interesting skill for even a non-musician.
Yeah, I mean, it's essential when you have 10 people playing instruments of different timbres and with eclectic musical backgrounds. Like, if you're not tuned in and listening to what everyone else is doing, or spacing out, not paying attention, or, you know, only thinking about like your role and your part, like, it's counterproductive, because so much of what we write is rhythmic, like Frank was saying, how do different parts interact and intermingle with one another. So, you know, I like developing songs, hearing what the rhythm section's doing, and like just chilling back and assessing what they're doing or recording that, and then being all like, oh, okay, cool, I could write a horn line off of this. And I think, you know, we have lots of different ways of how we write music and how we process music, so, you know, listening is super essential to develop that with all those different backgrounds and stylistic preferences and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And also with, you know, our live performances, you know, we're not all, you know, especially the rhythm, we're all kind of throwing in certain things here and there based on the performance at the time, you know. And so a lot of times I'm playing off the keyboard player, what our keyboardist is doing, or I'm kind of playing off of something that the bass player is doing or something like that. And it, that all varies show to show. So it's really important to, even more than yourself, be listening to everyone else. Mm-hmm. So you're not stepping on toes, and, you know, you want to make sure that pocket is there.
Well,
strong.
When you go into those long jams, is that all improvisation, or is there a structure?
There's a structure, but we'll, you know, stretch it out as long as we want to, or, you know, have the dynamic of the song, you know, whether we get louder or softer, you know, all that stuff is kind of on stage sort of stuff. But we've got a basic sort of idea of where we're going. You know, it's how we strive to keep tight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're really good at knowing each other well enough. Like if one person's taking a solo, you know, everyone in the rhythm section or backing them could kind of gauge like, okay, like they're still building, like lay back, or like, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm kind of being long-winded, and like hear these guys ramping it up. I'm like, all right, like I could rage and wrap this up now. So I think we have really good intuition to let the music build and ebb and flow and all that good stuff.
We really keep a lot of eye contact with each other too, and really just pay attention to what each other's doing. And, you know, whether it's kind of signaling people or whatever, but we do pay attention to all 10 members of the band.
Well, Frank, in that same Westward interview, you talked a lot about, you were laying an argument for Afrobeat being mathematical. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, any music is mathematics. There's always mathematics involved, whether it's just 4-4 time and you've got your little rhythm in there. The way that that rhythm lines up, and if you're writing sheet music or if you're just playing it, it still mathematically has to work. And it has to work with all the other instruments in your band. And that doesn't matter if you're playing country or funk or hip hop or Afrobeat. So, but with Afrobeat, I think when there's 10 people involved, and maybe especially our percussion section with JR and Matt and J-Ball, the three of them together, I mean, picture if just those three instruments weren't mathematically working out their parts, it'd be a mess. You know, it would simply be a mess. So the whole band has to mathematically click together in the realm that we're, that, you know, that there's a lot going on. But again, going back to my earlier statement saying that, you know, that we don't want to step on each other or stack up to where a whole bunch of stuff is almost sounding muddled. Everybody has their place in the measure or their phrase or whatever, and it has to click all together. So that's where my thoughts on it's mathematical, and it's okay. Not like you have to be good at math, but you have to be good at thinking that it all needs to work.
Well, you know, one of the truisms about music that we all know and love is that everybody around the world loves music. And maybe it's because it's mathematical. It's not English. It's not French. It's not Spanish.
It's the universal language.
It is a universal language.
And it's because it's mathematical.
Absolutely.
So that's where my head was going when I read that. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. I never made that connection before. Maybe you could give our listeners a sense of how you guys came together and when and where do you think you're going with your music?
Yeah. Well, I know these guys were in an organization, Friends of Red Rocks, together. And, I mean, you guys should really tell this because you did it.
Well, yeah, I met Casey at Friends of Red Rocks, which is a nonprofit organization. One of the biggest things we do is we do trail cleanups around Red Rocks Park in Morrison. We're talking about, hey, what do you doing in music, or what are you thinking about doing? And the topic of Fela Kuti and Afrobeat came up, and literally that conversation led to Atomga being born. And that was around this time of the year 8 years ago. And man, we've had a lot of fun in the last eight mm-hmm. years, haven't we? And but yeah, and then I just couldn't be I can't say how fortunate that I personally am, and I think that we are as a group, that these people ended up in the room. I love jamming with every single person that past and present that's been in Etamga.
Huh. Well, you're a big band, a 10-piece. Maybe you could talk about the rest of your band a little bit.
Yeah, so we have our lead vocalist, Lachey. She goes by the name Calyptic on stage. She's one of our newer members, and she's just a powerhouse. She is a force, really good stage presence, really good at engaging the audience. So we're super happy and think she's really elevated our performance. Casey's on the guitar, solid backbone of the whole band. Frank plays tenor sax. I play baritone sax. And we have a trumpet player, Alice Hansen, who unfortunately can't make this gig tonight, but you could hear her on all of the tracks, and she's super solid, one of my favorite horn players to play with. Our percussion section consists of J.R. Rank on the drum kit, and he's another one of our newer members, and you know, he's just so solid and in the pocket. Jared Fisher on congas, he's one of the first members of the group as well, and he holds it down. And Matt Schooley's our newest member. Him and I were in a band called Trichome over a decade ago. Makes me feel old. And, you know, we've always hung out and played music together throughout the years. And he subbed so well on some gigs. We're just like, dude, we miss having a second percussionist. Please come play with us. We have Sam LaFalce on the bass, and he's out of control. He's my favorite bassist to play with by far. And Peter Mauser on the keys. He's great, plays some really tasty licks on the Rhodes and the Nord, and I think I hit everyone.
Hmm. How many was that? No.
Right. I know, we have to count.
I know,
sometimes.
I was like, horns? I went a little roundabout with the rhythm, because Casey was right here, and I'm like, oh, Sam, oh, Peter, but we got it.
Are you guys touring around the country?
We're announcing it in the coming week or so, but we're actually going to do kind of a little Southwest and Southern Colorado run. It's challenging with 10 people to get that many people together and handle travel logistics, but kind of looking into the next year or so, we want to focus on some of those regional markets and, you know, every couple months go hit them and build them there incrementally, because that's a most logistically sound thing to do. And you know, we'd rather be super strong in 4 or 5 markets and see those numbers build over a year than be like, oh, hey, let's go to the Midwest, hey, let's go to the East Coast just for fun. Like, that just business wise and logistically wouldn't make sense. So that's kind of our plan for the next year or so and for foreseeable future as far as tour and travel.
Well, that sounds good. Let's talk a little bit about how Afrobeat happened in your own musical lives, and maybe we can play a few pieces that have inspired you over the years, and you could maybe talk about those pieces and why they're important to you.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll start, because you guys definitely have your own story mm-hmm. as well. I was in Nashville. I was a guitarist, and when I moved to Nashville, and everybody in Nashville plays guitar, and so I decided to pick up saxophone, and that was in 2001. And after I had been playing for a few years, one of my friends handed me a Fela Kuti CD, and it was just a collection of his songs. He's like, you need to be listening to this. And so that was my first introduction to Fela Kuti, and that literally is what led to years later, when I was kind of thinking about what do I want to do next band-wise, I found that old CD from Fela Kuti from a few years earlier and plugged it in. I'm like, man, oh man, the horn lines and the energy of it. I want to play this stuff. And so that's what led Casey and I to talking about it and everything else. Go ahead, take it away.
Yeah, so I took a really strong interest in percussion particularly auxiliary percussion when I was, you know, my late teens, and just, you know, all the like Santana and all that, that early 70s funk and stuff like that with all that auxiliary percussion I was really getting into. And when I was about 19, a friend of mine turned me on to Fela Kuti, and I mean, of course, all the percussion in that, it just clicked, you know. So I originally started in Atomga as the percussionist, and then we didn't have a guitar player, and I play guitar, so I became the guitar player.
Was that the second or third rehearsal?
Yeah, like third rehearsal. I didn't play any shows with me on percussion. But yeah, so that's, you know, that's pretty much how it went for me.
Leah?
Cool. Well, as a saxophone player growing up, it was always, you know, you could play classical music or you could play jazz music. Like, even throughout my first couple years of college, like, those were kind of your only two paths. And I was a real big weirdo and majored in classical alto saxophone, but, you know, you can't really perform outside of recitals or, you know, being a concert saxophonist or being a saxophone professor. And then jazz, like, I'm a huge jazz enthusiast, love reading about history, love listening to it, but performing it, like, you know, there's crazy chord changes and, you know, lots of it's just like trying to one-up each other, regurgitating licks, and, you know, that never really resonated super well with me. So, you know, unearthing a couple Fela CDs in our college's music library, and then the band that Matt and I played in back in the day playing a couple Fela songs, like, I'm like, wow, like, I like playing this, I like soloing over this, like, I don't quite understand it yet, but, like, I really, really like this style of music. And then, you know, it's been learning about Fela and his message and, you know, finding Afrobeat bands around the world and seeing how they're all united through Fela. Like, it's a awesome rabbit hole to go down, and I spend entirely too much time listening to it and trying to discover new bands. So long live Afrobeat. Yeah.
Well, the Fela track that you picked out to play is, I don't know if I'm saying this right, Jeon Koku.
Yeah, and it also goes by Chop and Quench.
Chop and Quench. What does that refer to? Just curious. Chop and Quench. I wonder what that refers to. I guess we'll have to.
I would
Google
take it literally. Chop and Quench. I don't know. I don't either.
I guess we should Google it. Well, let's listen to what should people be listening for in this song? Why is it important to you? Why is it a cool song?
The punchy horn lines.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The really in the pocket call and response of various instruments,
huge,
especially the bass and the guitar. Yeah, and of course all the awesome percussion and this is one of his more upbeat songs, also one of his shorter songs.
That's why we picked it. I mean, it's a great song, but we're just like, what's not going to take up our whole set?
Exactly.
Yeah, he's no stranger to 30-minute long tracks, you know.
You gotta love that.
Yeah,
screw those 3-minute pop songs.
Exactly.
All right, let's listen to it then. Here is Fela Kuti.
Yeah, this one's like one of his only instrumentals too, so you've heard it all.
Well, that's Fela Kuti. Mm-hmm. Wow. Wouldn't that have been fun to see Fela Kuti?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's like, I never saw Bob Marley. I never saw Fela Kuti. That would be cool. Well, one of the other tunes you guys picked out is from a band called Bixica 70. They're from Sao Paulo. Is that where they're from?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a Brazilian take on Afrobeat, which is kind of nice. What attracted you to this song?
Well, when I was discovering Afrobeat, much like Leah, I was digging in and trying to find bands all over the world, and the Afrobeat community is kind of small, so it didn't take me long to find this band Bixica 70 out of Brazil. And so I started reading their bio and realized they literally, it was like I was reading our bio. They started about the same time as us, but they were saying in their bio, they're like, well, man, we looked around Brazil and there's a lot of Afro-Cuban bands and Latin jazz and all these different takes off of almost that same genre, but different. And they basically said, like, it just didn't seem like anybody was really paying homage to Fela Kuti and a strong Afrobeat foundation. And that was kind of our story, too. It's like around Colorado, there was a few Afrobeat bands, and they all had their own take. And I think when you look worldwide, you'll see that every Afrobeat band, whether traditional or modern Afrobeat, they definitely have their own sound. They don't try to sound like the next one over. They all have their uniqueness. But it was kind of interesting that they were, that Bixica 70 and Atonga were parallel and when we started, and literally like the same story on why we formed the band. And then to go further, I love their sound. They're just really spot on, and you can just hear emotion in their music, and that's why I picked this particular song as well.
Grito de paz, something about peace. What does that mean? Grito.
I don't speak Portuguese. So.
I know. We need to go visit our beer. And
we have to go visit our beer. So our beer is in Curitiba, Brazil, which is about 4 hours south of Sao Paulo, where Bixica 70 is from. So we're hoping to go visit the Boda Brown Brewery in Curitiba and link up with Bixica 70 at some point.
So now, wait a minute. Back up. You've got a beer. You've got a brewery in Brazil brewing a beer called Atonga beer?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously?
Yeah, a good friend of the band went down there to collaborate with that brewery, and you know, kind of half serious but half joking, we give them a stack of our CDs and we're just like, hey dude, like, give them to people down here, like, spread the word. And they liked it so much, like, I guess they're brewing the beer like Atonga and named this particular imperial stout after us. And our good friend Chris is the, you know, co-owner and master brewer at a brewery in Denver called Banded Oak. And he has, you know, the same recipe over there. So if you're in Denver, you could get a Atonga Imperial Stout at Banded Oak. And it's 10%. We like to joke that it's 1% per band member.
All right, let's listen to Bixica 70 from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Thank you. Oh, it's hard to cut those guys off. That's sweet.
That's some nice stuff, isn't it?
Oh, that's really sweet. Huh. Well, if you're just joining us, we are sitting here with three members of the big band Atonga who are ready to play over at the Hoot. In 3 hours, they take the stage at 8 o'clock in downtown Carbondale at the 4th Street Plaza. And they're sitting in here telling us about themselves and some of the music they love. Let's go out with a little bit of music from them. Spafro from your new EP, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So awesome. Let's listen to Spafro and then come down and see him play live here in Carbondale. Here is Spafro. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.